Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Are you ready for deadline day, Keith?
Oh, yes, I am. Oh, I got up real early today, Jones, for trade deadline day. Scooping up all the rumors, looking at what all the what-ifs that could be out there, who's on the block, who's not on the block. We are inside of 6 hours from the trade deadline. 4 o'clock sharp. I plan on staying here till 4 o'clock to update everybody on those picks or on those trades. No? We're leaving it too.
Billy Lanny is going to be working hard at the trade desk all day long. Should we remind people anytime?
Obviously.
And we mean anytime.
Any trade.
Any trade goes down.
That's right.
Here is how it will sound.
Yes! Yes! That was so good!
And then you'll hear the dulcet tones of one Billy Lanny who mans the trade deadline desk each and every trade deadline.
Meaning every sport. Not every football deadline.
No.
The man's more versatile.
No, he's not a football only expert.
Your hockey deadline.
Yes.
Your baseball deadline.
Right.
Your hoops deadline.
Hoops. Yeah.
And today, your NFL football
We're probably only a couple years away from a college football trade deadline where they just get traded in season to go to another team.
That's a great point.
That's going to happen.
Yeah, college hoops deadline.
College hoops deadline. Yeah, that's coming up. But
WNBA have one? We may have to work that into the rotation.
Yeah, I would think.
We may have to get that in the rotation.
Are they're playing tonight or no?
Who?
WNBA?
I don't know.
I have a hard time pegging down their schedule. Yeah. It seems like it's all over the place.
I thought somebody already won that championship.
Oh, that's right.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And congratulations are in order. But
yeah, to whoever they are.
But the NFL.
All of you mams out there, congrats.
Each and every one of you playing your hearts out. You deserve it. But, NFL trade deadline day. Could we see some big-time moves? Could the Patriots make some moves?
Well, we already got a trade. I mean, unfortunately, it was not between 10 and 2 here today on Jones.
Otherwise, you would have heard that.
Yeah. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. That is your phone and your text number. Interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And do the same on YouTube. Watch along, chat there, just subscribe to WEEI. We'll get to the Celtics. Horrible loss last night.
Oh, my God.
Jaylen Brown.
They just missed another three.
Crying about the refs while they're missing threes and missing free throws and they can't rebound. But let's cry about the refs.
It was definitely that one play.
So
that's
we'll
what
do
cost
that
them.
Coming up. Okay. We got thoughts on Drake May. Very, very brief.
Yeah.
In a lengthy interview yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. So we have some thoughts on that.
I do have thoughts, actually.
I
have a lot of thoughts.
We'll also get to an interesting answer from Mike Vrabel about the wide receiver room coming up in just a little bit. Plus, Tier Tuesday, tearing off all the top teams in the NFL. Where do the Patriots fit in there? Tommy Tuesday, Tommy Curran at high noon.
Jam-packed
for you at 12:45.
Yep.
On deadline day, as I mentioned, I meant to close the loop on this. Cowboys already made a trade today, acquiring Logan Wilson from the Bengals for a 7th-round pick. That should help their defense.
Should help. Oh, that Cowboys defense is Swiss cheese. I don't know if you saw that last night. Jacoby Brissett was just slicing and dicing them. I think the Cowboys are a lost cause. I'm not sure how much Logan Wilson's going to help them, but hey, that's the beauty of the trade deadline. Things can happen quickly.
Here's the thing, and maybe the Cowboys kind of have to buy because of Micah Parsons and Jerry Jones said, we have a deal lined up, and I know who it is, and we're going to cross our T's and dot our I's, but you trust me, we have a trade.
Yeah, yeah.
And it turns out it's for Logan Wilson.
The Jerry Jones thing, real quick,
the Bengals,
was so comical when we talked about it at the time, but he traded Micah Parsons for all these draft picks. He's like, these draft picks could turn into a great player. And you're like, right, you had one. And then 2 weeks after that, he was like, we could trade these draft picks for a really good player. You're like, wait a minute, what? You just did the opposite. Not like I'm losing my mind over here. But yeah, no, they're a mess, which is always fun. You know, the Cowboys being bad, I think, is always great.
And they're bad. They're 3-5-1.
They stink.
Now, where are they in the playoff picture? Let me get that
out
for you. They are, the 11th
they're
team
gassed.
In the NFC.
Yeah, they're cooked. Did you see CeeDee Lamb on the sideline? Like, I don't think they're trading him, but holy mackerel.
Yeah.
He was pissed.
So here's the point. They're the 11th team in the NFC. They're 3-5-1. If they won last night, maybe things go differently. They probably already had the trade lined up for Logan Wilson.
They are second place in their division.
True. They're behind the
Eagles. Trash division.
They're adding. Even they're adding.
Yeah.
So all the Patriots have done to this point is subtract. They may not be done subtracting. Anthony Jennings is another name that could get dealt.
He gone.
And I've said this a bunch. I don't really care that they traded Keon White. I don't really care that they traded Jabril Peppers. I don't care if they trade Anthony Jennings. But you have to bring something back. I really don't care about sixth round picks. Like
Jones, Tom Brady.
I know. These guys that they dealt away were not great players. They've been healthy scratches at points this year. They're just depth pieces, and maybe they're not even that great. But I'd rather have them here on a team with a chance to do something this year than a haul and a raft of sixth and seventh round picks. Like, I really don't care about those things.
No, I mean, I understand if you're like, hey, I'm not trading my first round pick.
100%.
Fine. If you don't want to do that, that's a different story than still being aggressive. I think you're going to see some good. What did Jalen Phillips just go for? A third rounder from the Dolphins of the Eagles?
Eagles gave up a third rounder.
So, like, you can get a good player for a third round pick. So I don't want to be like, oh, you can't touch a night two draft. You could trade a third round pick. You can absolutely trade a third-round pick, fourth-round pick. I know they're probably more likely to deal with sixth or some of these pick swaps, which, again, you bring in a couple of bodies that you think are going to be improvements, good. You don't need to, like, sell out for the team, but you should also recognize where you're at. You're 7-2. Your quarterback's playing like an MVP. You have a legitimate chance to win the division. You have a legitimate chance of being the one seed. Nobody thought that at the beginning of the year. Thought maybe they would scrap their way into the last playoff spot.
They're percentage points away from being the one seed right now.
Yeah. So, like, today's the day to add to the team. And, you know, going back to the last deadline that we, as Boston fans, remember and were frustrated with, you know, the Red Sox, we were looking for maybe even a bigger ticket item because you looked at where they were and because of what had happened earlier in the season with, like, the Devers trade. And you're like, ah, they need to be aggressive. They need to go out there and get somebody better. And it didn't happen.
Teams have to like our players.
I don't think the Patriots need to do that. But there is sort of a middle ground, right? Like, if you're using the baseball comp, there's a middle ground between Joe Ryan and Dustin May. You know, go get, like, Merrill Kelly. So, like, whatever that version is, I think the Patriots should be involved in 100%.
So, me too. And I'm getting annoyed because I've heard it so many places from Patriots beat writers that you know the team's putting it out there.
100%.
Like, you know the team is saying, well, look at Washington.
Like, look at Washington.
Look at the Commanders. They're a cautionary tale. I've heard it from Breer. I've heard it from Bedard. I've heard it elsewhere.
They're not a cautionary tale. I mean, unless you think having your best wide receiver and your quarterback hurt for half the season is a cautionary tale. Like, okay. Then don't play Drake May and Steph Diggs then, because that's the biggest issue, not them making trades or spending money.
So they traded in the offseason for Deebo Samuel. They gave up a fifth-round pick. They traded a bunch of picks for Marshawn Lattimore. Like, maybe you don't give up multiple picks for one player.
Yeah.
As you said, Keith, maybe you don't give up your first or your second-round pick. I'm okay with that, too. Yeah. I think that's defensible. Like, unless it's a real impact player, you don't have to give up your first or second-round pick. I really don't hear a lot of people demanding that or asking for that.
Yeah.
I just think people want you to improve the team.
Not be a number one pick traded all day today around the league.
Probably not. Has there been one in season yet? I don't think so.
Not in season. No. I mean, you go back, what, how many years ago?
You go back for the Parsons trade. Oh, you're saying at any deadline?
I'm saying, like, deadline, like Christian McCaffrey. Yep. Like, but, like, so it has happened, but it's rare. So I'm not saying, like, oh, the Patriots need to be that team and, like, stand out above everybody else. But make a move, especially when, you know, if some of the thought is add depth, well, didn't you just get rid of some depth? You know, so, like, if you're combining that, it's different than the Devers trade because Devers was all the money attached to it and everything else. But if you're just talking about, oh, you might need a safety or you might need an edge rush, you got rid of those guys. And I know Keon White wasn't, like, a perfect fit, and I'm not crying about Keon White being gone, but he made the team, and he's on the team to this point. So I don't know if, like, a practice squad guy is better than him. I would hope not, or certainly better than Kyle Duggar. So you should be able to go find somebody with either the pick that you got for those guys or maybe even go around higher and shoot a little bit higher.
Why are we worried about sixth and seventh round picks?
I don't know.
When you're 7-2 in the mix in the AFC. Like, I guess that's what I can't square away, because I agree. I'm not crying about Keon White or Kyle Duggar. I don't miss either of them. I didn't care about Jabril Peppers. I won't care if they trade Anthony Jennings.
Yeah.
But why are you so fixated on 6th and 7th round picks? Like, this annoyed me. I heard Andrew Callahan, CLNS, his podcast, Pat's Interference, talking with Mike Giardi. And this, again, this is coming from the team. This, to me, is how they view it. I don't think they're doing anything today. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think they're adding anything. Maybe they subtract. I hope I'm wrong about that. But this was Callahan, and this, to me, was bothersome.
Because I just have had the same intel for the last week and a half. Running backs, edge defenders, that's who they want. Lower-level deals are what they're chasing. And they're really not in a rush because, again, they look at this as year one. I would call it year 1.5.
Okay. I don't know why we're calling it year 1.5, but whatever.
I mean, it is year one, but you're way ahead of schedule.
You're year so one. They're looking for lower-level deals. I'm fine with lower-level deals. I'm not gonna jump down their throat about making a deal for a depth running back when you have injuries at running back, or a depth receiver when you have an injury now with Kayshon Boutte at receiver. Depth linebacker, you lost our guy Christian Ellis. Like, you need a safety. You need pass rush help. Maybe you need another offensive lineman, the way the O-line has been playing the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I think you have needs, depth needs. You don't have to go out and get a big ticket number one guy with a first or second round pick. But why is it year one of a rebuild? Why are you approaching it that you're 7-2 and arguably the top team in the AFC, at least by percentage points, away from being the top team in the AFC? Like, I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get it. Maybe just like lowering expectations, because it's like that would have been the plan had you not seen the games and had you not seen what the rest of the AFC looks like. So if the two other best teams with you right now are the Colts and the Broncos, it's not the Bills and the Chiefs and Lamar Jackson's healthy and Joe Burrow's healthy. That I could understand. If those four teams going into the year, the four stud quarterbacks, were all healthy and playing better than you, but you were also somehow still 7-2, I could be like, well,
what's your real chance?
You're below all those teams. You're not. So I think you need to adjust for what's going on. Even if when Mike Vrabel got here and he sort of said, all right, I'm taking over a 4-win team. We're going to try to win as many games as possible. If we win 8 year one, I'll take it. And then if we win 10 the next year and get into the playoffs in year two, great. But guess what? You're ahead of schedule. So you should lean into that.
That's what
I'm trying to make a move.
Yeah. And again, don't blow up your future by trading a first round pick.
Right.
How about a late round pick for some depth to aid your team instead of subtracting? So it makes me wonder how much they even believe in the team in the first place. And you guys can jump in on it. 617-779-7937. Ooh, I like this text. Guys, the Pats are 7-2 without your input as to how they should manage their team.
What do you mean?
I give
plenty of input
on what they have to say and the moves they decide to make. Again, I'm not even sure you have a track record worth listening to.
All right, so the trade deadline's today. So it's another reason why we're talking about it today. So if we're saying they should make a move and you're telling us that they shouldn't and we should just listen to them, and then 3 hours from now they make a move, then what?
Then we were right.
Correct.
Or you're going to have a real...
Oh, egg on your face.
A real pretzel to twist out of.
You better text in with an apology,
this
sir.
Is a good
or
theory.
Ma'am.
This is a good theory, too.
Yeah.
You guys say you don't care about 6th and 7th round picks. Duh, have you ever heard it's all about 6-7? That's Carolyn texting it.
Stop it.
So maybe it's an homage. It's on trend.
I don't even want to dump that.
That's why they want
Nick
the 6th and 7th round picks.
Terrible.
There's also this, not to do with the trade deadline today.
Okay.
Jones, your facial hair can't grow back fast enough.
I've heard that.
Guy looks like pure evil. Yeah, it's gonna take a couple of weeks to
get
the
facial time
hair
on that?
Back.
2 weeks?
Yeah, I'm hoping that I can hide my face very soon.
Well, it is November, so you could go just mustache.
That's what Ken said to me yesterday.
Yeah, it's November.
But that the problem with me growing out a mustache, as great as the cause as that would be,
yes,
my weak chin is still exposed.
You need a chin mustache.
If I'm allowed to do chin mustache from November,
that counts.
I'm so in.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't
like
be doing
Jim the Anvil Neidhart, rest in peace, honestly, just straight down to the floor.
Honestly, the mustache really just accentuates the weak chin even more. I don't know that I can get away with
that. That is true. It really points all attention to it, especially if you have like a handlebar mustache. It might as well be arrows with a sign pointing to the weak chin.
That's a good point.
You don't want that.
One more text here. Guys, I live for the breaking news sounder. Well, I'll tell you what.
Well, so do we.
We'll get real excited if the Patriots actually do something. Never mind anything big. But you'll hear that news sounder all day here on Jones and Keefe.
Well, hopefully it's an active deadline.
Good point. Yeah. Whenever trades happen, we'll go right to Billy Lanny over at the trade desk. Do you think their lack of moves, Keefe, and so far to this point, the fact that they've only sold, may sell more, do you think that speaks to a lack of belief in the team? Like, real big picture, like a real chance to go on a run, Super Bowl contender, championship windows open. Does that speak to their lack of belief?
I think it's a combination of sticking to the long-term plan and being as successful as you possibly can be over like a 5-year period and not sacrificing that. but then maybe also deep down being like, you know, for example, I saw something in the Twitch chat mentioning like Trey Hendrickson. Like, they do not feel as though they are a team. And they might even be right about. For a guy like that, trade a number one pick for a guy in his 30s, and then basically it's like, if you don't win it this year, then you're really hurting the next 5 years of your team. But again, you and I want them to add players, but we're also not asking for that. Like, there's a whole, I mean, with the NFL, I mean, you have 7 rounds of draft picks, and so like you can make all different types of moves. You can still be aggressive without sacrificing your future. So that's what I hope that they do. But if it's like nothing, like say we get on the air tomorrow and they haven't done a thing, then yeah, maybe they don't feel as strong as in the team as like we do. Like I feel like they're a real contender in the AFC.
I think so too. And so that's part of what I'm wondering. If you're worried about next year and the year after that, and this is year one, or is it 1.5?
1.5, I heard, yeah.
If that's what it is, then you're not really, I mean, you want to have a sustained winner, I get that. But I don't think trading a 6th-round pick, I don't think trading a 5th-round pick takes away from you being a sustained, call me crazy.
I don't even think a 3rd-round pick. That would be as high as I go. If you go higher than that, then like, yeah, those are guys that should make impacts right away and also be on their rookie deals and, you know, get a blue chipper and all that stuff. But 3rd-round, I'd go as high as a 3rd-round with some of these guys. And let's see who gets moved, and let's see what they get moved for, too. You know, if you see a really good player getting traded for like a 4th-round pick, I'd be like, well, why didn't
Eagles
you jump in?
He was already traded for like a bunch of players.
I would have taken Phillips.
So, yeah. I mean, some good players have already moved, but you're right. Let's see what else happens today. By the way, I disagree with texts like this, 617-779-7937. Guys, Wolf doesn't have the nuts to make a big trade. Well, he might not. I mean, that part might be true. But I'm not blaming him. I'm not blaming him for this trade deadline.
I don't think he has anything to do with it.
We can blame. Let's blame Vrabel and Cowden and Stretch, who got a big shout out on the like a long shout out on the broadcast on
Sunday. Good amount of Stretch talk.
Let's blame those guys. Let's blame the proper people.
No, Wolf has to make sure the fax machine's plugged in. He has to make sure everybody's hydrated. I don't think he's doing any trades.
Everyone's well caffeinated this morning.
Yes.
Lots of donuts in the office for people to nosh on.
Uh-huh.
That's Elliot Wolf and his role here today. So let's not blame him if and probably when the Patriots do nothing at today's 4 p.m. trade deadline. Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. You can watch your local games all season long, kicking off with a juicy Week 10 matchup between the Patriots and the Bucks.
Oh, that is juicy.
Sunday, super juicy.
Uh-huh.
Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. More thoughts on the trade deadline. We'll get to the Celtics later on in the show. Tommy Tuesday at high noon. Tears at 11:30 and Kiefer Madness for you at 12:45. Plus, let's get into an interesting comment Mike Vrabel had about his wide receiver room. Do the Patriots have enough there? You'll hear from Vrabel right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Boston Celtics have dropped back-to-back games after last night's 105-103 loss to the Utah Jazz at the TD Garden. Yusef Nurkic made the layup with 0.6 seconds left in regulation to lift the Jazz past the C's. Jaylen Brown scored a game-high 36 points in the loss. Up next, the Celtics host the Washington Wizards tomorrow night. On Monday Night Football, the Arizona Cardinals defeated the Cowboys 27-17. Patriots players are off today and will return to practice tomorrow to be in preparations for Sunday's matchup against the Buccaneers in Tampa Bay. The NFL trade deadline is today at 4 p.m. Tonight, the Boston Bruins look to make it 4 wins in a row when the Bees will be in New York taking on the Islanders. Puck drop at UBS Arena is at 7 o'clock. And Boston College basketball fell 83-78 to FAU in Florida last night. The Eagles are back on the court Thursday night to host the Citadel Bulldogs. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner, upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's great. Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
How was Mike Vrabel yesterday? Talking to the media about Kayshon Booty, who on his Discord, I saw Hart bitching about this yesterday, Keith.
Oh, yeah. Kids be on Discord.
Hart's like, I already hate Twitter and Instagram. Now I got to follow players on Discord?
You better.
You don't have to. People follow it for you and they post it on Twitter.
That's also true.
So this is kind of my approach
with
it as well.
That's where the Dove Clemens of the world actually come up nice.
Like, people are, you know, Pete Abe yesterday broke the news, I guess, about Alex Bregman opting out of his contract on Blue Sky. I'm like, somebody else will find that for me.
Send it where people actually are.
Discord, yeah. Blue Sky, like, somebody else tag me.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess Kayshon Booty said yesterday it's a grade one hamstring injury.
You think Vrabel loves that?
Good question. Probably not.
I mean, Vrabel... way more forthcoming than like Belichick was. Belichick was almost comical.
He was pretty forthcoming in that answer where
that's what I'm saying.
He's not practicing at the beginning of the week. We'll see. Yeah. But it certainly sounds like Booty's not playing this weekend. Listening to Vrabel, Booty pretty much let you know he's not playing.
But most coaches do come out and say postgame, like, oh, so-and-so does have a hamstring injury, which is not like the end of the world. But we were just so used to it for 20 years being like, oh, my God, they said something about an injury. But even still, I'm like, maybe don't go to Discord and tell everybody what's going on.
I don't think we really need that.
I
mean, look, but
I don't think it's the end of the world. But
I like Kayshon Booty.
Yeah.
Good receiver. Great deep ball tracker. Way better than I ever expected. His judgment and decision making when it comes to college football gambling.
Yeah. The octopus. Yeah.
And maybe his posting leaves something to be desired.
Parlay.
So you guys can discuss the trade deadline. 617-779-7937. I want to make this clear. This is not a trade. Let's just remind people to wrap their heads around it. People really like it. Nick, if we could remind people one more time,
this is what
any
it would be
trade,
like.
Just a Patriots trade.
No, a football trade.
Any football trade happens. What's it going to sound like?
You can't.
That's not it.
There we go.
Yes! That was so good.
So good. And then that goes right nicely into whatever the trade happens to be. Right. Over under, whilst we're on the air, 2.5 trades.
Oh, in the league? Over.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Patriots. I'll take the over on a Patriots trade.
Over half a trade.
They're going to trade away Anthony Jennings. They're going to make another subtraction would be my prediction.
For a sixth, and they're going to give up a seventh.
Correct.
Seventh and Jennings for a sixth.
Yeah. Why are you giving up these sevenths? I thought this is all about the rebuild, and I thought this was all about.
We're going to own the sixth round.
Year
in 2 years.
One of the rebuild, so you got to really stack those late draft. I don't get why you're giving up seventh round picks along with players. That's just me. The piece in there that interests me less than Kayshon Booty, although yesterday I said, Keith, I think wide receiver is a bigger need now that Booty's hurt. I am rethinking that to a degree.
Okay.
If it's a grade one hamstring, and we're talking about a couple of weeks he might miss, do you have to go out and add a name to the receiver room that, and I heard Phil Perry talking about this, Pat's Talk podcast, they go out and get a receiver who, pick the name, Rashid Shaheed's a name we brought up, think bigger, text line is asking about A.J. Brown.
Right.
Brian Thomas Jr. is hurt again, he's probably out. But like
Chris Olave.
Fine. They pick your receiver.
Okay.
They plug a receiver like that in the room, and Booty's like, well, wait a minute, I have one injury, and now now what? I lost my job
and you have enough
I yanked my hamstring.
Because I don't want to take Steph Diggs off the field.
Me either.
You're right. And even Mac Hollins has proven that he's solid. And they don't run a ton of four wide receiver sets anyway, because they always seemingly have a tight end on the field, sometimes two. They have a back on the field, sometimes two. So they can kind of mix and match the receivers anyway. And you saw Kyle Williams get a lot of run last week. Now, the diminishing returns, I guess you could say. But for the most part, I think Drake May can be successful for a couple weeks. Now, this doesn't mean the offense is going to look the same and they're not going to miss a beat. I think they will miss Kayshon Booty. He had a really good stretch of games. And he has a knack for the deep ball and getting in the end zone. But Diggs, Hollins, and Pop Douglas, with the game Pop Douglas had this week, those three guys combined with Hunter Henry in the pass game, Austin Hooper, who you have shortchanged in his athletic ability.
I didn't realize
famously
the man,
on this show.
The man could catch the alley hoop like that. I didn't know he had ups like that. Yeah.
The alley hooper?
Yeah.
I think they have enough to get by. And that's why I wouldn't bring in somebody of like the lower level. Now, it doesn't mean if something happens and you can get a top, closer to a top tier wide receiver at a price that you feel comfortable with, I'd still explore that. I'm not saying, hey, the receiver group is playing better than I thought, so don't even touch it. Like, yeah, you can always make improvements, but it's not my number one need or priority today.
So the maybe more interesting piece is Vrabel's like, yeah, Kyle Williams is going to get a shot. And he played more snaps than you realized in the game on Sunday, over 30 snaps in their win over the Falcons. The
Which
only
is
time,
amazing. How many do you remember?
I remember the one. Yeah. They threw it to him on second down, trying to run out the clock on their second-to-last possession, and he and Drake were nowhere near on the same page. So I find that to be interesting. And part of me says, all right, this is his shot. And he can hopefully replicate some of what Kayshon Boutte does. Deep shot guy. I could maybe see that working out if they ever looked like they had any chemistry and were ever on the same page. And I'm looking at the wide receiver class, Keith. He was the 69th pick.
Nice.
And I guess the one thing he has going for him is it's been a pretty bad wide receiver class outside of Abuka.
Yeah.
Like,
who's nasty?
Travis Hunter hurt. And has always been kind of an interesting prospect, way at the top. Tet McMillan, I think, is kind of underwhelmed.
He had a couple good games early. He was better than I thought, because I didn't like him coming into the draft, and he looked decent early, but I think that's kind of settled down, right?
Golden is hurt in Green Bay. He's done nothing. You know, you look at some of the second-round picks. I like Luther Burden, nothing. Jaden Higgins, nothing.
Yeah, right.
Trey Harris, nothing. Jack Besh, nothing. So then you get into the receivers where he went. He was, again, third round, 69th overall.
Nice.
One pick after him, Tesla with the Lions, hasn't done anything. Pat Bryant with the Broncos. Jalen Noel has flashed here and there. Like, the best receivers after him probably are a kid we saw in Tennessee a few weeks ago, Chimri Dike.
Yeah.
Who else? Torrey Horton has made some nice plays.
Really good.
For Seattle, you saw him catch a couple of touchdowns.
Torrey Horton had, he had two touchdowns on Sunday Night Football.
He has a punt return touchdown earlier in the year.
Yep.
Tez Johnson, I always liked. So little guy, he had like a game or two where he was good.
Tez Johnson was a seventh-round pick. Maybe that was the other one. I don't think it's been a great receiver class. I'm not kicking and screaming like we have in some other receiver classes where, wow, you took N'Keal Harry and you passed on Deebo Samuel.
No.
And you passed on DK Metcalf. And you passed on A.J. Brown. No, it's not like that. It's just, this is Kyle Williams' chance. A few guys after him have flashed. Horton, DK, maybe Tez Johnson, although there haven't been a lot of them. This is his opportunity to show you something. And
he's shown nothing.
I don't feel great about that happening, but listening to Vrabel, it sounds like he's going to get a chance. And by the way, I've disagreed with Vrabel on a lot of these. Disagreed with him on Pop Douglas. They stuck with him. Look what they're getting now. I disagreed with him on Ramondre Stevenson, sticking with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's been more of a mixed bag, but I'd say largely Vrabel has been proven right on that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's see if Kyle Williams is the latest example of that. I'm not holding my breath on it. I don't expect it, but let's see.
No, by no means am I, you know, giving up on the guy or anything like that. It just doesn't seem like he is anywhere close. He had a couple of moments in camp. Remember, he had like a really good play early in camp. And you're like, all right, but you might have something here.
Yeah, he had a back shoulder catch on like a Gonzo.
Right away.
Before Gonzo even got hurt. That was not a big window to do that. He did it right away in training camp.
And then everybody else kind of passed him by. You know, Boutte and Pop Douglas were more consistent. Then you had the veteran guys and Diggs and Mac Hollins. And then there was even talk about like Efton Chisholm like outperforming him at times. And you were like, all right, he's fast, but what else can he do? So this season he has, what, two catches for 20 yards.
I don't even remember two catches. I'm surprised he even has two.
I don't even remember those. There are seven guys drafted after him that have at least 100 yards receiving. But again, it doesn't appear that it's going to be the N'Keal Harry, like, oh my God, look at these pros after you.
But you still have gotten one of the least productive guys in the class.
Well, yeah, and it's another one of those things where you get, you know, some of the beat writers around the team like, oh, you can't sacrifice the future. You can't trade a third round pick at the deadline. It's like, Kyle Williams.
You just flushed the third round pick.
Apparently. And it happens all the time. So like and there's examples both ways, right? You could be like, here's a second round pick who's amazing and is in the Hall of Fame. Here's a second round pick that didn't make it to year two. See Jalen Polk. So there's plenty of different examples. So like Polk, I was out on real quick. And then that ended up being right. N'Keal Harry, I think a lot of people were kind of out on, but he at least had more production. We'll see with Kyle Williams. I think this week he's going to get an opportunity, but I'm not holding my breath on it. I think those other receivers, there's enough other receivers to still get the ball.
But if Booty's out this week and he plays, and he'll play snaps, he played a ton on Sunday. If he plays and he does nothing, I'd say you're not getting anything out of him this year.
Yeah, no, that's probably fair.
That doesn't mean it's a bust. No. That doesn't mean he'll never give you anything, but that means you're probably not getting anything out of him this year.
I go back to an old Drake May interview on WEEI Afternoons.
Oh.
We'll talk about the one from yesterday coming up. But a few weeks back, they remember, and we talked about this on the time, because he would answer every question with like, yeah. Like he would say, yeah. Yeah. Like he'd start with every question. Like, yeah. They're like, hey, well, how's Mike Vrabel? Yeah. Great coach.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
And then they're like, how close is Kyle Williams to being a part of the thing? He's like, yeah.
Yes.
Pretty real close.
Yes. Yeah, very, very close.
His tone changed completely. Like, he wanted to be nice. He didn't want to bury his teammate. But if you just read, like, based on all the other answers, you're like, yeah, he is not very convinced.
It was a good catch at the time.
Thank you.
And it remains a good observation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I believe in him. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kyle's a nice player.
He's
gonna he's doing all the right things.
Yes.
Going to be real good. Real good for us.
Doing all the right things.
Kelly is in Amherst on the trade deadline. Hello, Kelly.
What's up, guys? I love what you guys are saying. I don't know if you're going to love what I'm about to say, but my thought is this. First off, on the Kayshon Booty thing, he has been playing great. I think the reason he's playing great is because Drake May's thrown it to him. I think if some other guy was in there and Drake May was thrown it to him, he'd be looking great, too.
Well, real but quick, Kelly, I know you have more, it didn't look the same throwing to Pop Douglas, who made a couple of plays, Will Root touchdown, 58-yarder, but there were also a couple of misses down the field where they didn't look as good. So I think you saw on Sunday that's not true, but keep going.
I mean, I feel like Pop Douglas has had a lot of good production. We'll see what happens when they get some practice time. But, no, yeah, that's a good point. But just in general about the trade deadline, right, we're talking about, like, if they don't do something, you know, it would be disappointing. It's kind of like the baseball thing. Are we winners or losers, right? Trade deadline. Well, of course we're winners, but, you know, like sour wet blanket here, the trade deadline isn't a thing in football. So I get that we're trying to, like, have thing and make
Tell it to the Eagles. They just made 3 trades this week.
Yeah, I think it's becoming more of a thing. Old school, yeah, there wasn't as many trades. In fact, the Patriots were as active as anybody. Bill Belichick made more in-season trades, I feel like, than most. I mean, Aqib Talib was a massive in-season trade. They also got rid of guys like Jamie Collins and Jimmy Garoppolo. So, like, those were big in-season trades. So they were usually pretty active. And they get Michael Floyd right after he had that aggressive DUI.
Yeah, was that a trade? Deadline acquisition?
I thought so.
Nice.
He had a big block. That was, like, his signature play with the Patriots. But, yeah, so I think more and more teams are doing it. And it's, you know, it's a classic NFL trade, though. Unlike these other sports, it'll be a pick or a pick swap for one player. It's not player for player.
No.
And it probably won't be too many, like, you know, massive, like, household names necessarily. But I think teams are constantly tweaking with their roster, and today's the day to do it.
And, again, fine, maybe no significant trades happen. All that's happened so far is they've subtracted. And it makes me wonder, when I keep hearing about how, well, you can't be the Commanders. Commanders were in the NFC title game last year. Why couldn't you be in the AFC title game this year and make that a good game? So I keep hearing about how the Commanders are a cautionary tale and it's a long rebuild and this is just year one or 1.5 of the rebuild. And it just sounds to me like what's coming out of Foxborough is they don't really believe in the team this year. And that's annoying to me because I think I believe in them more than they do,
agree.
It sounds like.
Yeah, I think so.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to the Celtics at 11. Tears, 11:30. Tommy Curran from NBC Sports Boston at high noon on a Tommy Tuesday. Plus a key for madness for you at 12:45. But on the way next, Drake May seemed a little bothered, seemed a little annoyed yesterday. Was it at his play? What was that about? Let's get to it. Coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Somewhere, Jalen Hawkins clapping along to this song, this rejoin.
He's trying to get them to snap the ball, and it worked. It absolutely worked. Raheem Morris steaming about it. Have you changed your mind on how Raheem Morris reacted yesterday?
No, he like ran from it yesterday. Did you see that? He ran from it. He's like, oh, I didn't mean to like start a whole thing. He called it, what did he call it? He called it something different. He didn't call
clap gate?
He didn't call it clap gate.
All right, so he's not taking on what Vrabel referred to it as. No, he's probably like, oh, man. He's like, I don't need it.
Snapgate?
Snapgate.
I'll find it. I think he called it Snapgate.
I don't know what's better. But he's like, he's like, I don't need any more attention on me for this season going south. I don't need to even talk about this. He's like, I've said too much.
I've said too much. Snapgate. That is what he called it. Snapgate.
I've said too much. Not what we said about Drake May, as he was a little surly.
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know. He's a little steamed.
Is he annoyed at his play? Is he annoyed at the questions yesterday were like about not a great game? And he's like, well, guys, I've had a pretty good year. I got to come in and face all the, like, what was it? Because he was noticeably short yesterday.
I know, because yesterday, you know, usually you can tell 2 minutes into an interview with almost any of the Patriot players whether they won the game before or they didn't.
I can usually tell
when the second they say hello.
The second Hunter Henry breathes, I can pretty much get a good read on it. Yeah, you won.
Yeah. I was going to say, because Hunter Henry and Craig Woodson, we had a chance to talk to the Eraser yesterday in person. Those guys were both in a good mood because they're on a 6-game winning streak.
They were.
Yeah, Drake May did not appear to be in a great mood. Maybe he was trying to figure out his transportation to the Celtics game and he was a little distracted.
He didn't answer that.
They said, are you going to the Celtics game? Because it was everywhere on Twitter. And maybe he finds that annoying. He's like, I didn't say I'm going to, like, why do people know I'm going to the Celtics game?
Who leaked that?
Maybe he was annoyed by that. Yeah. Not even the question, but just like, yeah, I am going, but I don't know.
How do you already know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe other linemen besides Will Campbell wanted to go and he's like, I don't know if I'm going. Hey, Drake, you going to the game? Can I go to the game with you? Like, I don't know.
Mike and Wenu just got him killed. Yeah. He's like, is Mike going? I'm not sure I want to go. Yeah.
Just Will Campbell. Will's the only one who played well. Yeah. Will chased down that guy and tackled him, so I'm bringing Will as a reward. Nobody else is going to the game. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's just, I'm not sure what it is. Maybe he's a little annoyed by how he played or even just the questions about it. But yeah, it was for a guy that is on a winning streak and is still in the MVP conversation. He seemed a little perturbed.
I don't know what it is either. I just know that's what it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Like that is what it was. It was short and snippy.
Icy.
And maybe, Keith, he was like you and I.
Yeah.
Waiting for them to play Shime's love letter to him.
No joke, I'm really mad that they didn't play it. I'm like bummed out they didn't play it. Because I'm listening to the entire interview. Shime had the love letter last week. And we're like, oh my God. And then Wiggy was even like at the end of it, we could probably get that to Drake. We could probably get that. Yeah, it was right there for you. It's under a minute long. You play it for him, and then you get his reaction to it. Why not? Best case scenario.
Yeah. So you wait
weeks from now. I've thought about this a lot.
Real quick before you say this, this blew my mind when you said it actually, because I was like, oh, we'll just get like a funny answer, and we'll all get to play it.
So real quick for those that missed what happened, Shime basically went Mac from Always Sunny to Chase Utley and had a love letter for Drake May. He read it on the morning show. It was great. We played it on our show.
Wants to have a catch with him.
Yeah, I love you.
They bonded over
Pokemon.
Their love. Perceived love of Pokemon.
Turns out Drake May didn't even know what the costume was. But
details.
I'm sure that's not going to sway Shime from his love for Drake May. So you have Shime, who's obsessed with Drake May. He's loved Drake May since the draft, even before the draft. Still loves him to this day. And he has this whole long love letter about having a catch. They also do a bit during the interview called May or May Not. So how do you not then segue into would you may or may not have a catch with Chris Shime? I'm envisioning 2 weeks from now at a practice, Shime gets to go down there early and have a little catch at Drake May.
Dude, could you imagine?
Why not?
I didn't even think about that.
Yes.
I'm like, he'll just give a funny answer and he'll probably be like, boy, that's stalker behavior.
Or he's like, well, it is.
Stage 5 clinger, whatever. Like, he'll make some kind of joke. We'll all get to play
also
and have
funny.
A good time with
it.
What if Drake's like, yeah, sure, I'll have a catch with him. Like, what if that's what he said?
I don't understand it.
And we didn't play it for him.
No.
I mean, not we, but it,
well,
it,
no,
it,
we would have.
It was not played for
In
him.
Fact,
yeah.
I think we might play it for Mike Onwenu. See what he thinks of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we might have
we
to play
should
it.
Have played it for Hunter Henry.
Damn it. Why didn't we play
hey,
it yesterday?
Hey, Craig Woodson, we just met you. Here's a guy from our morning show talking
Craig
about Drake
Woodson,
May.
You've never met us. Yeah. We just barely found out you're even appearing on the show as you were walking in. But
I was flabbergasted.
Let's play this for you. That's a good point. Why didn't we do that yesterday?
I could
have done that.
And we even tried on Friday reminding those guys. When we were leaving on Friday, we were like, hey, you got to play that for Drake May on Monday. And I think Hart said something like, well, yeah, he's like, if they win, he's like, it might be weird after a loss. And I was like, I think you should do it either way. But they won. They won the game.
They did. Question on the text line. Do you think they didn't play it because Drake wasn't in a good mood?
Then play it first.
I don't think that.
I think you got to get him out of the good
mood.
I think
it was decided that they weren't going to play it.
Not because I texted Hart right away. I'm like, what the hell? And he's like, yeah, we decided not to. So I think that was the plan going into the interview, that they weren't going to play that for him. I feel like it should have happened.
Free Mandela in the Twitch chat. What if they had the catch dressed as Pokemon? Pokemons? Pokemon? Is that pluralized? I'm not sure.
Pokemon.
No offense. They have a catch as Pokemon.
Would have been incredible. How awesome would that have been?
That would have been so good.
Yeah, or you just get the thing where you're like,
oh my
Shime
God. What would Shime do? If Drake May had a catch with Shime, what does he do?
I think he would spontaneously combust.
I'm going to...
Yeah.
He just immediately, he just ascends into heaven.
Yeah, he's like, he's like, well, the highlight of my life will never be topped. I think that could have been a real possibility. You get Shime down there just for like a little catch. Yeah. Why not?
I mean, best case scenario.
Or you're just like, all
right,
this guy.
Best case scenario, he can't catch a tight spiral, bounces right off his face or something like that. We all have a good time with it.
Oh, he zips one at him.
Like Wiggy and Fourier with the jugs machine.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that.
Just throws a screamer right at his stomach, knocks the wind out of him. That would have been great. Or just to hear his reaction to it. Because, I don't know. It seemed like a no-brainer to me, but, you know, what do I know?
This texter. Guys, I texted the show at least a dozen times from the start of the interview to the end and asked why they didn't play it yesterday.
And they at one point even asked him about the Pokemon.
Pokemon.
No. They asked him about what he was dressed up as he went to the children's hospital. And
yeah,
I was
they
like,
went there. That's true.
And I'm like, oh, this is next. This is obviously next. And it was not. It never happened. I listened to the entire thing and I was like, I was very disappointed.
I listened to it. And yeah,
you're
waiting for it.
It's legitimately a win-win. Either he makes like a 2-second comment about like, wow, that guy's weird.
Great.
That lives on forever.
That's a win. We're playing that nonstop.
And then every time Shime's like, I love Drake May, we then play the response of him being like, that guy's weird. Or he actually has a catch with him.
Right.
Where's the drawback there?
I don't know.
Oh, man. What a miss.
I don't know. Well, he can give you another snippy answer, I guess. That's the drawback. 617-779.
Great. I would take that, too. Put it in the open.
Yeah.
Put it in the May or May Not open, which was good. Good snappy open.
I did like May or May Not. I like the new open as well. But, yeah, it felt like a missed opportunity. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keith. A lot of thoughts on the trade deadline. Comes your way at 4 o'clock. Any move, and we mean any move, happens throughout the NFL. You will hear it here on Jones and Keith. Fingers crossed. Patriots actually do something today. Not holding my breath on that. Let's get to the Celtics, a team that may need to make some trades.
Oh, boy.
Or undo some trades they made in the offseason. Celtics shoot themselves in the foot, and I don't think they understand why they lost last night. Let's get to it coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.